Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Or if you want to look at the Triglotta from 1921, thou shalt sanctify the holy day. You are gathered here on the Christian Sabbath day to hear of what your Lord has done for you. Because you know that without a doubt, there is nothing more important that you could do this very morning than to be gathered with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to hear the word of God and to receive the gifts of his sacrament. Now, if I belabored this point too much, it would be useless because you're actually here this morning, rather than prepping whatever you plan on doing at 9 a.m. today. The fact is that there are actually churches in Wisconsin today that reset their worship service times. They reset them to be before kickoff, and then they planned a shortened service to go on during halftime, as though that's somehow the loving thing to do for a church. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We gather on Sunday mornings because Sunday is the day that our Lord rose from the dead. So while it is true that the historic Sabbath, as created by God, is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, Christians immediately started gathering on Sunday. And we could see why. Jesus appears to them on that Easter morning. And then he appears to them again the next Sunday and the next Sunday. And so they continue this, because this is the day of our Lord's visitation. This is the day of new creation. And so we have the commandment. Jesus knows the commandment, doesn't he? I mean, after all, he is God in the flesh. And yet, what is he doing on the Sabbath day? He's creating miracles. And so he catches them. Because at this point, he knows that they are watching his every single move. And so they are constantly looking to trip him up. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. What a wonderful thing it is to have Sunday dinners, right? Now, of course, this is a Saturday, but have Sunday dinners, that you would gather with your family, that you would spend time with one another, but that first and foremost, you would devote yourselves to the most important thing that there is, worship of our Lord. He has commanded it of us, but he has also promised so much grace and blessing. Behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy, and Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Now, this is actually a question posed to him in Matthew's gospel. They ask him this: is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? Because they had hedged around this law so tightly that it didn't even allow acts of mercy. Acts of mercy are good things to do. We talked about this when we had the story of the Good Samaritan, that if you are on your way to church on Sunday morning, and you were to see someone lying in need on the side of the road, you would stop to help, even though God has commanded you to be to church. And if there is still time, then come. You know, it's not an act of mercy watching grown men get paid millions of dollars to play a boys' game. That's not an act of mercy. That is not a legitimate excuse to not be here. But again, I said I wouldn't belabor this point because you're here. So I'll stop. Behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. Dropsy is a disease that causes retention of water. It was often viewed as a rich man's disease. They would consume and consume and consume, and so they would constantly be thirsty, and so they would drink and drink, but it would not go through properly, and so they would retain it. And it would be extremely painful. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They keep silent. They know that they can easily be tricked here. They know that this man, even though they will deny that he is God, is brilliant and smart, and he can get them back. He took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. Yes, it's true that they were trying better to follow God's laws, because they remembered the time that they had completely forgotten them, that they had lived their own way. Even though God had made them his old covenant people, they disobeyed him. They followed false gods. They began to worship others instead of the true God. Instead of devoting themselves to worship him every Sabbath, they began doing other things with their time. But there I go again. The concept here is that it is good to make sure that you are following the law of God. But the Pharisees were so afraid to fall off on the horse on that side again that they made laws that no one could completely attain. Jesus is the lawgiver. He is the Word of God. He is that Word in the flesh. He has come down to be with them. Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come to fulfill them. When you read the Gospel of St. Matthew, you will see time and time again that these are quotations of prophecies fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. This is a day of rest. Our Lord rests so that we may rest. And Jesus would fulfill this one final time, for on the last Sabbath day, the day after he died for our sins, he rested from all the work that he had done. So he told them a parable. You invited Jesus over for dinner, and he already posed a very difficult question to you, one that you could not answer. And now it's time to be seated for said dinner. So he told a parable because he notices how they are always trying to find themselves in the best places, in the places of honor. He says, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Most weddings today still have assigned seating, and many classrooms as well. So we do kind of understand what that is like. We wouldn't expect our fifth cousin, three times removed, to go and sit at the head table for our wedding, would we? No, we wouldn't expect that, because if he were to do that, somebody, whether it's the father of the bride or the groom, or the wedding coordinator, or whatever you might have, would go and say, you have to move. I think about this fact too, and perhaps you grew up like I did, or maybe your home is like this. There is one specific chair in my parents' living room that I do not sit in. Why do I not sit in that specific chair in my parents' living room? Because that is my father's chair. And you know what? He has earned that chair. He is the head of his house. He is the king of his castle. And I give him complete respect. Now, I'll be honest, if I were to sit there, I'm sure that he would be gracious enough not to yell at me. And because I know that he listens to these sermons, I love you, Dad. But the fact is, there is a chair. And whenever my friends would come over and they'd sit there, I'd be like, nope, you have to move. You have to sit somewhere else. But that is an honorable place. He has earned that place. He worked hard to provide for his family day in and day out. So there is a difference here, isn't there? There is a difference between earning a spot and simply going there because you think you deserve it. We are to act humbly. The fact is that God has become completely humble. The King of all creation laid down his crown and was born from a virgin. He had to spend 9 months in a womb. He had to be fed. He had to be nourished. He had to be trained. He had to be taught. Even though he is the king of all creation, he humbled himself and took on the form of one of us. And perhaps the most humbling thing is that his hands were nailed to a cross. His feet were nailed. His head had a crown of thorns placed deep inside of it. He was whipped, he was beaten, and he was on a cross naked for all to see. Can you think of anything more humble than that? And yet, why did he do that? Why did he take the absolute lowest place to raise us up? To say, friend, move up higher. Hell is no longer your destination. I have opened the gates of heaven for all who will believe in me. Friend, move up higher. Friend, come to my table, Jesus says. He says, I will feed you. I will give you my body to eat and my blood to drink, that your sins may be forgiven. I know that you come in rags, but let me wash you. Let me clothe you in my robe, the robe of righteousness. Jesus has done all these things for you and for me, because even though he is king, he also loves you. He loves you as his own. Our Father looks at you and views you as his own children. How wonderful that is. And so we walk through this life humbly, knowing that the world will never exalt us for actually following Christ. The world will not give you a pat on the back for saying, hey, it was really good of you for going to church this Sunday. It was really good of you to not spend your whole night, every night in the bar being drunk so that you could follow Christ. The world's not going to do that. But at the end of this life, no matter how bad your life might be, you will receive a crown. And you will receive the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is the life that is to come. That is the life that far exceeds this life. Trust in it. And live. The church sings, seek whom you may to be your stay. None can redeem his brother. All helpers failed, this man prevailed, the God-man and none other. Our servant king of whom we sing, we're justified because he died, the guilty being guiltless. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.